It is Friday, May 13th, 2011. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. On Wednesday, the 14th Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of Tibet, delivered a lecture and participated in a panel discussion at the University of Arkansas Fayetteville. As part of our extended coverage, Jacqueline Froelich brings us highlights from the panel.
The morning panel discussion held at Bud Walton Arena was titled Turning Swords into Plowshares, The Many Paths of Nonviolence. Featured were Sister Helen Prejean, a Catholic nun and anti-death penalty advocate, Vincent Harding, an icon of the American Civil Rights Movement who worked alongside Martin Luther King Jr., and wearing his maroon and saffron monk's robe with a matching brim was His Holiness the Dalai Lama. The first thing the Dalai Lama commented on after he was introduced were the beautiful sounds of birds chirping pre-dawn near his hotel room. The 76-year-old Tibetan leader routinely wakes up at 3:30 a.m. to meditate before breakfast. He began the discussion saying, "Choosing a nonviolent path takes keen self-awareness."
Every human action must come through motivation. So any action motivated by compassion, sense of affection, other, is nonviolence. Any action, whether verbal action or physical action, out of hatred, out of anger, out of jealousy, out of this negative feeling, that essentially violence. So, my sort of belief, in order to promote nonviolence, we have to deal with emotional level. We should make awareness. The compassionate mind is very good for the society, very good for the family, very good for individual.
And selfishness, he said, is a major obstacle toward developing compassion.
The too much self-centered attitude brings more fear, more suspicion.
And also brings distrust. But once the practice of compassion is embedded, the Dalai Lama said, speaking to this mostly American self-interested audience, happiness occurs.
This practice, immense benefit to yourself. That, I think, is very important. I always tell people, the practice of compassion, some people feel is something holy, something good for others, but not necessarily to yourself. This is totally wrong.
Sitting next to the Dalai Lama was Sister Helen Prejean. She was born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and joined the Catholic Congregation of St. Joseph in 1957. She's author of the New York Times bestseller, Dead Man Walking, made into a popular feature film. She's dedicated her life to counseling prisoners and seeks to abolish the death penalty. Sister Prejean said, "Our enemies are our best teachers because they allow us to practice compassion."
But what Gandhi calls soul force, resistance to what is wrong, trying to help create what is new and not to be passive and overwhelmed.
The third panelist, Vincent Harding, was born in Harlem, has degrees in journalism and history from Columbia and University of Chicago, and is a colleague of Martin Luther King Jr., helped with Coretta Scott King to establish the King Center in Atlanta. He currently directs the Veterans of Hope Project, a multifaceted educational initiative on religion, culture, and participatory democracy. Vincent Harding said his path to nonviolence was seeded by the abiding love of his mother and an epiphany as an Army recruit one day in the midst of military weapons training.
In that moment, I heard the song that I had been singing in my church school for many, many years, "Jesus Loves the Little Children." And again, a voice came to me saying, "So that's it. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, Vincent. But when they grow up, and when your government tells you that they are your enemies, Jesus loves the little children, but when they grow up, you're going to cut their guts out because your government says that that's what you need to do." And from that moment on, I began wrestling with myself and wrestling with the meaning of this Jesus and wrestling with the idea that I, as his follower, was giving myself over to that kind of madness. And so I, from that point, essentially became a conscientious objector.
The Dalai Lama said, when we understand that the actor and action are distinct, we can then choose compassion towards our perpetrators, even in his case, the Chinese government, which invaded and now occupies his homeland of Tibet.
Those, even the Chinese communist hardliners, who really carry ruthless sort of policy, these individuals, we respect them. We deliberately try to promote our sense of well-being or sense of compassion towards them. But as far as the action is concerned, sometimes we criticize and sort of what it is, a certain way, any possibility, you see, we oppose their action.
Toward the end of their dialogue, all three were asked to reflect on the killing of Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. It made international news last week that in remarks made at the University of Southern California, the Dalai Lama suggested bin Laden's death was justified. But according to a transcript posted on his website, he said while such action, like the September 11th terrorist attack on New York, must be brought to justice, that justice must be compassionate. And to his U of A audience, he said killing only leads to more killing.
Then, after a few years, 10 bin Laden. After more years, 100 bin Laden might come. So the change must take here, not just a physical sort of elimination. So one person eliminate, but 10 person feel very bad. So that seed, sort of more hated, so source of another sort of problem.
This was the Dalai Lama's sixth university visit scheduled this month. He travels the globe speaking about religious harmony while promoting Tibetan cultural sovereignty. All profits from speaking engagements are donated to charity. He recently relinquished political control of his government in exile to Harvard legal scholar Lobsang Sangay, who was elected new prime minister. His visit was sponsored by the University of Arkansas Distinguished Lecture Series. The event was organized by Sidney Burris, director of the Fulbright College Honors Program, and colleague Geshe Dorje, a Tibetan monk and U of A instructor. They are founders of the Tibetan Cultural Institute of Arkansas. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To hear extended audio of the Dalai Lama's lecture from Wednesday afternoon, visit ozarksatlarge.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Dan Kraft, reporter with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Dan, Sunday, a story about something that people in along Beaver Lake have known about for some time.
True. They've been looking at this project for about 5 years now, Kyle.
It was a project that was pitched as condominiums.
High-rise condominiums, right. First of its kind on the lake. The original plan called for 7 towers at 25 stories apiece. Very ambitious.
And very controversial at the time.
Yes. I believe 3 a.m. the Benton County Planning Commission went to try and decide if they were going to approve it or not.
I haven't been up that way. What does it look like right now?
It is kind of out of the way, actually. If you don't know exactly where you're headed, you're not going to see it because it was billed as being outside of Rogers, but it's really outside of Avoca by quite a bit.
Outside of Avoca. Okay.
Yes.
And Sunday, you have a story that's the update on what has taken place in those 5 years?
Yes, which essentially isn't a whole lot, but it's murky, to say the least.
Murky, what might happen next?
What might happen next and what might be happening right now? as the condos obviously were never built, but the earthwork was done, meaning that there is a big patch, several acres worth of red dirt, and the original developers, who no longer own the property, had put in some retention ponds, stormwater runoff, which the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality requires for big construction sites like that. That really hasn't been kept up with as the project fell apart, and the ownership is probably as murky or more so than the water these days.
So you're trying to figure out who's responsible for what? And
we are. The neighbors would like to know, and ADEQ would like to figure that out as well, because the stormwater permit that was originally given to them expired several years ago.
Oh, my. Interesting. And so this will be in Sunday's paper.
It will, along with that'll be in every one of our four papers, the Northwest Arkansas Times, the Morning News in Springdale and Rogers, and the Benton County Daily Record. Each paper will also have a more local story looking at the academic all-stars from each town. These are the outstanding high school achievers.
Graduations are approaching.
They are. In fact, I believe a week from when this will run is when most of them show up in Bud Walton Arena to get their diplomas.
Although, if you're not a senior, I think you're going past then because of all the snow and whatnot.
Yes, quite a few of them will be spending a couple more days in school.
All right, Dan, thanks a lot.
Cool. Kyle, appreciate it.
Next week, 12 pianists between the ages of 16 and 30 from 8 different countries will perform in Fayetteville. The dozen are the semifinalists for the 2011 Fulbright Concerto competition. The six men and six women were selected from 149 applicants. Six will perform for an hour each on Thursday at Star Theater. The other six will follow on Friday, May 20th. The three finalists will each perform a concerto of their choice in front of the Artisphere Festival Orchestra on May 22nd inside Baumwalker Auditorium at Walton Arts Center. Yura Margulis is the Emily J. McAllister Professor of Piano at the University of Arkansas. He's also the director of the competition. An internationally recognized pianist, Yura is a veteran of competitions as a musician and as a judge. He says the Fulbright Concerto competition is open to young pianists from around the world.
We send out emails to a large group of professors internationally, teachers, you know, institutions. We had a poster made that was hung in, you know, all major conservatories in the world. I did advertisements in specialized magazines, Piano Magazine in England, MTNA Magazine in the United States. And one organization that is internationally known for being a hub for information about competitions, the so-called Alec Agridge Foundation in Belgium. They publish a book once a year where all the major competitions are in, and well, we were lucky enough to be included in that book, so every piano student in the world who looks at competitions looks at that book and will found us there.
This is a competition, but you have told these pianists that it also look at it as a point, as an opportunity to play in front of an
absolutely
audience.
Which I think is one of the great advantages why we, which explains why we got so many applications, is free repertoire. Many competitions have specific repertoire requirements. They require you to play sort of the same four styles you're required to play for an audition: Baroque, classic, romantic, modern, and an etude. You know, and the application. Many competitions require in the application, which is usually months before the actual event, to have a DVD, sort of a video recording, of the program of the first round, let's say, or of the competition, you know. That is very hard to pull off for some students. I mean, you know, to get a camera in the studio.
Financially and...
Yes, organizational. It's very difficult to put this together. Now, in our case, free repertoire and any recording. Anything that you ever did, assuming that most people will send in the best stuff from most recent, because there's a development. But we got DVDs and MP3s and just CDs and links to YouTube videos. I mean, there's one pianist who has a substantial amount of great live recordings at, you know, Lincoln Center and Carnegie Hall, and it's on YouTube. And I accepted that, of course.
All 12 will play, all 12 semifinalists, then three move on to the finals.
That's right.
Then they will play again?
They will play with the Artisphere Orchestra. All of this is in the Walton Arts Center. They will play with the orchestra one concerto of their choice.
Hmm.
So we'll have an evening of three concerti in front of hopefully a full, you know, Baumwalker Hall. And the audience is invited to participate in the selection process, meaning they will cast a vote, the audience vote. This is a special prize of $1,000 that is sort of awarded through the vote of the audience, and it will count towards the final count. It will count equal to the jury votes.
Okay, let me ask you about that, because say I'm in the audience.
Yeah.
I do not have a trained ear.
Yes, you do.
Well, okay, I do not.
I would say this to anyone who says, okay, I don't have a trained ear. Any person who walks up to me, you know, after a concert and says, you know, this was great, but I'm not a musician, I don't know anything about music, I say, no. Yes, you do. Of course you do. You know much more than you think. And if you ask about yourself, so you're in the audience and you hear three concerti, you will have an instinct, right? You will just like something better than something else. I must tell you that jury members ultimately do the exact same thing. Yes, we have more knowledge, we have training, and we understand sort of details. We know the score. But ultimately, it's an intuitive decision.
Hmm.
It speaks or doesn't to you.
Now, I know you are a veteran of competition.
I did a lot, yeah.
Yes. Have you juried? You have been in a jury?
Oh, many, yeah, absolutely. Many years now.
I'm just curious. Do you open your eyes or close your eyes when someone's playing?
Open.
So you watch?
Of course.
Does that matter? I mean, what a person does?
It does. Because the way an artist interfaces with the object of the art, in our case, how a pianist connects to the instrument, is significant towards the art. The great pianists have a relationship with the instrument which is unique and natural and efficient and elegant and beautiful. It's an art form in itself, the playing of the instrument. You know, I mean, I always think of a centaur, which the myth comes from people that rode horses so well that it seemed apparently that they are one with them. Now, a great pianist is somebody who is not playing at or on the instrument. They are one with the instrument. They're fish in water. Hmm. And you can hear that too, but the eye gives you information right away.
This begins May 19th, but yes. I have a feeling that it's not so simple as picking 12 semifinalists, telling them, come from wherever you are to Fayetteville, Arkansas, show up at Walton Arts Center stage and play. There's got to be other things that you do between...
You mean me, myself, or the organization of the competition?
Both. I mean, there's preparations. They land at the airport and they have to sleep somewhere. How does this all work?
Well, we were very fortunate. We were looking for 12 host families and we found 12 host families. The 12 semifinalists will be individually hosted by a family from our region, from Fayetteville. And they will be responsible for their pickup, transportation, and of course, practicing. And so the limitation on host families was that they have to have a grand piano and, say, a car.
Mm.
Yeah. So all our host families, of course, have a grand piano at home, and each individual will be taken care of by the individual host family.
And the grand piano at the home is a requirement because...
Because they need to practice on a grand piano. I mean, if I was a pianist, I come to a competition and I'm hosted in a host family and I'm told, but we don't have a piano. I'd be like, why would you host me there? Of course. And, you know, this idea, I try to make the rules, the principles, let's say, of this competition, not from the perspective of an administrator, which, by the way, gives me much more work, I think, but from the perspective of the contestant. As you said, I did a lot of competitions myself and I remember which ones I liked and which ones were really a pain. So I made it all to be most convenient, to be most comfortable, because going on stage in a competition setting and playing for an hour, that's unbelievably difficult. It's incredibly hard. Alone on the stage is more or less the scariest thing. Mm. So I tried to make everything else as convenient and comfortable and pleasant to the contestant as possible. The ones that don't advance to the finals will get pretty much their airfare reimbursed, so they, you know, they don't sort of risk anything, which very few competitions do. The hosting and the host families, some competitions do this, and Van Cliburn does that. Mm-hmm. And they host, they have 38 or 40 host families, you know. That is always a very nice thing. Personal, you know, connection. I think from last time, some families stayed in touch with their guests because they followed, you know, they felt sort of connected and they followed their continued career. And some of our contestants from 4 years ago have a remarkable continuing career, absolutely remarkable. One young man from Germany recorded, you know, a CD a year after the competition for EMI, and it was internationally published with great success. I'm very thrilled about that.
May 19th is a Thursday.
Yes, that is when the competition starts.
First six semifinalists?
First six semifinalists. And as far as I remember, and I think that's how it is, the times we start at 10, 11, 12 to 1. We have a break, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30 to 5:30. On the 19th and the same on the 20th.
And then on the 22nd.
And then there will be one day where the contestants, they will be relaxing and preparing the three, will be preparing for the finals on the 22nd and rehearsing, of course, mm-hmm. with the orchestra on the 22nd will be the finals of the concerto competition.
Obviously, some of the patrons who will come will be very experienced with piano music, probably have played piano themselves. You're going to get some people, too, who are casual.
Absolutely.
Classical. And that's what I think you would want.
Absolutely.
A mix.
Absolutely. No, of course, of course. This, I think, would be interesting to anyone. I mean, don't we all appreciate high, high achievement? I mean, watching the best tennis player in the world play is a pleasure, even if you know nothing about mm-hmm. tennis. It's just, if you see a master at work, it's always good. If I can bring this in, it's not a good analogy, but American Idol, I mean, we watch... The American population, let's say, watches all kinds of people doing all kinds of things, and much of it is probably not that great, but the good stuff is really good, and it's enjoyable for that, and you will have that here, including, by the way, the fact that you can vote for your favorite.
And also the fact that it's in Star Theater. I mean, you're going to be pretty close
to
these musicians.
Yes, you will see their fingers move, you know? Mm-hmm. You will see their eyes follow their music.
Yura Margulis is the Emily J. McAllister Professor of Piano at the University of Arkansas and director of the 2011 Fulbright Concerto Competition. The semifinalists will perform for free Thursday and Friday, May 19th and 20th, and the three finalists will perform with the Artisphere Festival Orchestra on May 22nd. For more information, FulbrightConcertoCompetition.org.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz, every Friday night from 10 till midnight. On this week's program, we will hear an encore performance that was originally recorded in January of this year. We'll hear music from Russell Malone and the San Francisco Jazz Collective, Charles Lloyd, a tribute to Billy Taylor, James Moody, and Charles Fambro, and much, much more. I hope you'll tune in this Friday for Shades of Jazz.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Officials at the Little Rock port say traffic on the river has come almost entirely to a halt as a result of flooding on the Arkansas River and further down on the Mississippi. The port normally handles between 40 and 70 barges a month. James Firestone with the Port Authority says the real problem is further down the Arkansas.
Lock number two, which is about between around 15 miles from the where the Arkansas runs into the White and into the Mississippi, is shut down completely because the water from the Mississippi is higher and trying to flow backwards up the Arkansas. And that, in turn, has the barge traffic coming up from New Orleans and up into the Arkansas River completely shut down.
Firestone says the economic impact of the flooding and the shutdown could be as high as $10 million for the entire Arkansas River navigational system. He says because of that backward flow, there could be damage.
Where we're going to have a problem possibly is down at Lock 2 with that water, all the pressure that you have coming from the Mississippi being high, those locks and dams are not designed to run backwards. And, there could be damage from that back pressure and that water trying to run backwards through the lock and dam.
Officials hope to open the lock back up in a week and a half.
This is Ozarks at Large. On yesterday's program, I talked with Laura Goodwin from Walton Arts Center about Poetivity, a regional-wide effort to bring poetry and people together more often. Poetivity is one facet of the Artisphere Festival presented by Walton Arts Center and is co-coordinated with the Northwest Arkansas Writing Project. Part of Poetivity has reached into schools, including Linda Brothers' creative writing class at Fayetteville High School. Yesterday afternoon, during one of the school's busy lunch periods, I navigated through the halls of Fayetteville High to meet with Linda Brothers, her creative writing class, and Chris Gehring from Northwest Arkansas Writing Project. This spring, the class has worked on poems with the theme of nature as the third place, the place we seek beyond home and work or school. Beginning today and running through next week's editions of Ozarks at Large, we'll hear the results. Today, the poem Linda Brothers wrote as an example for her students to explain the idea of nature as a third place. She titled her poem, A Third Place of Her Own.
When Ms. Goodwin from the Walton Arts Center approached us and asked us to do this, actually through Chris, and I got an email from Chris talking about a third place, and I didn't really know what a third place was, and so I did a little looking and started looking at the prompts that he gave us, and so I decided to write a third place poem to approach the idea with my students because I just thought that would be the best way to get them started. So I wrote this. Do you want me to read this?
Please.
Okay, so it's called A Third Place of Her Own. American transcendentalists and British romantics had third places in their heads. Thoreau just went to the woods. I once heard all I needed to live deliberately was a futon and a library card. But I need a third place, huh? I know some awesome third places. My friend Laura Jo lives in Magnolia, Arkansas, and calls her third place the rabbit hole. Lots of folks love to go there, but she is a bit of a tyrant, demanding we drink from mason jars and go barefoot on certain hills, get on our bellies to drink from the creek, because the ground spirits like that. I want to be queen of my own third place with an Airstream trailer next to a creek with huge rocks on which to sit and a fire pit. Always someone there to sing and play on something made with strings. No connections to the world outside. Red wine for breakfast, and everyone eats chocolate before bed for tossing torrid dreams. In my third place, all are required to think before speaking, must plant something for everything they pluck up. Violation sentences under the willow tree. The guilty will spend 30 Sundays serving the tyranny of the Magnolia Queen. You will live deliberately in my third place, or it is indeed off with your head.
Linda Brothers teaches creative writing at Fayetteville High School, and her class wrote poetry this spring with the theme of nature as third place. Poems her students wrote will be on next week's editions of Ozarks at Large. On Monday, Angel Rodriguez reads a poem about his third place, a coffee shop. That's on Monday's Ozarks at Large.
It's Friday, May 13th, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And joining us now is Becca Bacon-Martin. She's the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
And you guys both know me well enough to know that every once in a while I stumble onto a story that just makes me do a little happy dance.
I think it's more often than every once in a while, but go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so I found another one. I was minding my own business at a crafts fair last weekend, and I was coerced into a booth by a young woman in an 1890s saloon girl outfit. And the jewelry she was selling in her booth, because at least Antoinette knows if it's a jewelry booth,
yes,
I'm going in, was made out of used bullets.
Bullets that had been shot.
Yes.
Okay.
Bullets that had been shot. So within a couple of minutes, I'd spent way too much money and found out all about the local cowboy action shooting group called the Arkansas Lead Slingers.
Now, are these, let me see if I know what cowboy action shooting is. You're on a horse, you stop, and you shoot at a target, and then
no.
You keep, no, okay.
No.
Wow. No. I didn't even have a guess.
It's sort of like you took the Society for Creative Anachronism and paintball and live action role playing and you rolled it all up and added guns to it.
This sounds incredibly
exciting.
Dangerous.
No, it's awesome.
It sounds awesome.
Okay, part of it is wearing costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're either cowboy costumes or they're B-Western film costumes.
Okay.
Part of it is building sets because they build buildings, you know, fake storefront buildings that they use in the target shooting.
You realize this is Friday the 13th and not April 1st. This is all on
this
the up and up.
This is all on
okay.
the up and up.
They build storefronts.
They build storefronts. They have a shooting range out by Avoca called Frisco City.
Okay.
And there's an event tomorrow called the Fracas at Frisco, where about 80 of them will be doing a 7-stage shooting competition. in costume.
Okay.
The guns that you shoot with, you have to have a handgun, a rifle, and a shotgun. And they have to be patented before 1897.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they have to be antique guns, but the design has to be pre-1900.
It could have been made last year, but with the design of the older gun.
Right. So that means the handguns are single-action guns.
Okay.
That you have to cock and fire. Rifles are lever-action rifles. John Wayne pumping the rifle.
Right.
And the shotguns are the double-barreled variety that are most often seen guarding stagecoaches in old movies.
Sure, okay.
So in the scenario, you would get a little plot that says you go up on the bank steps and you shoot at this target over here, and then you shoot at that target behind the bank where the saloon is or whatever, mm-hmm. and then with your a different gun, and then you pick up the third gun and you shoot something else.
With live ammunition?
With live ammunition, hence the jewelry.
Oh.
So can people come watch this?
Yes, they can.
From a distance?
From a safe distance. Safety first. They will even provide eye protection and ear protection.
Oh, well, okay. That's nice.
If you're a spectator. They do ask that you make an approximation of a cowboy outfit.
Okay.
So put on your jeans and your snap-up shirt. And a cowboy hat, you know, so you won't be the anachronism mm-hmm. in their event.
How do you win? Just the best shot?
That's points.
Okay.
It's all a point right. spread.
And so this is called the Fracas at Frisco.
The Fracas at Frisco. They expect that the scenarios will start about 9:30 on Saturday, and you need to go to Arkansas Lead Slingers, LEADslingers.com, for directions to Frisco City.
Sounds fantastic.
Absolutely. Oh, love these people. If you prefer bugs to guns, mm-hmm. I got you covered. Because tomorrow is the Trail Mix concert tour at Lake Fayetteville, and I don't mean there will be bugs out to bite you. I mean that there's this really cool costumer and sculptor coming in from New York City. Her name's Annie Hickman, and she's bringing these giant bug, frog, butterfly, praying mantis, lizard costumes.
And from what I understand, some local actors will be embodying these costumes
yes.
and all about the trail, interacting.
Yes. And the cool part about her costume, living sculpture things is that she took this class in basket making. So the heads are all woven baskets.
I heard they're just beautiful.
That's cool.
They are gorgeous. At least in the pictures, they're gorgeous. The band scheduled to perform from 3 to 6 tomorrow are Plastic Music.
And they're a lot of fun.
Music all made on plastic things.
Right, but it's real music. It's not just, I mean, they carry the tune, and it's recycled material. They're fantastic.
Raiza Saeed.
Who's wonderful.
Nilsson Mata and Brazilian Voyage.
World class.
The Hogtown Hot Club.
Which I have not seen yet. Local, Jim Greason and his friends. I really want to see them.
Jim Greason, Jim Jernigan, Ed Nichols, and Mike Johnson should be great. And Arkansas Salsa with Papa Rap.
Right. What happens when you put banjos and
Papa Rap together, and it should be fun. You start at the North Shore Park and walk or bike around Lake Fayetteville clockwise toward the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. It's free, and the rain date's Sunday.
Right. Should it rain?
Don't go there.
But it'll all be the same time, same channel, Sunday.
Right. 3 to 6. Also this weekend, Rennie Arbo and Daisy Mayhem's PJ Party for Kids tonight at 7 at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville, also part of Artisphere. It's $5. The Fayetteville Jazz Collective plays tonight. They just won the NAMA Award as the area's best jazz band, and they play at the York Ballroom at 8 o'clock. Admission is $10. It's Old Timers Days in downtown Van Buren. Maybe you can go buy me a piece of jewelry. It's the Oklahoma Renaissance Festival every weekend through May 30th. That hint goes with that, too, guys. OKCastle.com.
Is that in Muskogee?
That is in Muskogee. The Belle of Amherst, a play, is this weekend, 8 o'clock today and tomorrow, 2 o'clock Sunday, at the new Ethnos Art Venue in Eureka Springs. $15. You can find out more at 253-6380. Tomorrow is International Migratory Bird Day.
Out at Hobbs.
At Hobbs from 10 to 4. It's free. And the summer concerts are beginning.
What do we got?
We got Music on the Lawn at Pinnacle Hills Promenade starting tomorrow at 6, weather permitting. And this Saturday's band is Old Dimebox. Again, it's free. And the second Saturday music series in Siloam Springs at Twin Springs Park starts tomorrow. It's every second Saturday of the month. Each show starts at 7:30. It's free. And this weekend is the Gallier Brothers.
And the Spring Music Fest at Terra Studios begins tomorrow morning at 10.
And if you don't have anything to do,
there's plenty.
I got some laundry you can do.
Thank you, Becca.
Thank you, guys.
Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large, and time for today's question. Winners today, two winners today. Each winner will receive a set of two tickets to each of the Artisphere Festival Orchestra performances on May 17th, 21st, and 22nd.
So two sets of tickets for three events.
Right.
A lot of math.
Yes. and today is Friday the 13th.
It is.
No one really knows why Friday the 13th is considered unlucky. There are many theories going back to the Templar Knights, going back to the Last Supper, going back to Norse mythology. No one knows for sure.
Okay.
Here's what we do know for sure. That if you are going to have a month with a Friday the 13th in it, the month has to start on a certain day of the week. And I'm not even going to give you choices because you already have one out of seven chance. And you can look at your calendar on your desk and figure this out. So we're trying to make this one very easy. What's the number?
The number is 800-522-5823.
So again, two winners today. Each will receive two tickets to each of the Artisphere Orchestra concerts. Those concerts are free, but you have to have tickets to get in. So we're trying to help. Okay. Again, what day of the week does a month have to start on to have a Friday the 13th in it?
Good luck.
Time now for the answer to today's question, which was, what day of the week does a month have to start on to have a Friday the 13th, such as today?
The answer is Sunday.
All you had to do was look at your calendar. Two winners today will receive tickets to the Artisphere Festival Orchestra Series. Those concerts are May 17th, 21st, and 22nd. Yesterday we had a winner.
Yes, Michelle Ferry.
By the way, the most Friday the 13th you can have in 1 year? Three.
Really?
Yes. This year, there is only one, and that is today, Friday, May 13th.
So enjoy it.
Yes. And any statistical information I could find suggests that there are no more wrecks or disasters or bad luck things on a Friday the 13th than any other day. In fact, some statistics suggest there are actually fewer.
Oh, people being more cautious.
Exactly.
Wow.
And local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Trailside Cafe and Tea Room, offering a summer menu of salads, homestyle plate lunches, soup, sandwiches, and desserts, with beer, wine, and 50 quality loose-leaf teas, including teapots, filters, and books. Open 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, located on Center Street at the Frisco Trail in Fayetteville. TrailsideTea.com for more information.
A service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Blackjack Corner.
Blackjack Corner.
Yep.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grada.
Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9. Brand new week next week, every day at noon.
Have a good one.